The Guardian.
What are the indications about the way the results are going?
Well, so far, with over the half the seats counted, it's clear that the Conservatives are well ahead, likely to have a very clear majority in the new Majlis, the Parliament. But we already knew that because the reformist opposition candidates had been barred from standing in about half the seats, so they were never going to win.
So will these elections and will the result have any impact on Iran's diplomatic situation between the country and the West?
Yes, I should think it's likely to entrench the hardline position of President Ahmadinejad in terms of the nuclear issue, in terms of most issues. I think he's going to feel reinforced, bolstered by this exercise, and is already portraying it as an act of defiance by the Iranian people in the face of international pressure, international sanctions.
So does it mean that Iran's nuclear enrichment program will now go ahead, do you think?
Well, yes, it's going to go ahead no matter who won. It's become almost a matter of national consensus that Iran has the right to have the full nuclear fuel cycle in its country, on its territory, which involves enriching uranium. That was never really on the table in these elections. Really, as far as the foreign policy was concerned, there's a certain amount of queasiness, not only among reformists, but among some conservatives as well, about Ahmadinejad's style, you know, his tendency to talk from the hip, questioning the historical accuracy of the Holocaust, for example, and rejecting the legitimacy of the United Nations, things like that. It was really a matter, when it comes to foreign policy, it's really a matter of style, not substance, that divides the various political groups.
And it does now seem then, given that what you're saying about the elections and the fact that the reformists were just completely barred from even taking part, that there's pretty much no debate now. The conservatives have got the upper hand in Iran.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the reformists weren't completely barred. They stood in about half the seats and they decided not to boycott because they felt that even if they got, you know, a third of the seats in the Majlis, that would at least give them a little soapbox to stand on, make their views heard, get them a little bit more access to the state media, and perhaps provide a platform for next year's presidential elections.
And how are things looking for those presidential elections? These elections presumably give Ahmadinejad a pretty good base from which to start his campaign.
Yes, absolutely. They show that, you know, he can mobilize a vote, and in the presidential elections he's deployed various tools, weapons, like using the Basij, the Volunteer Revolutionary Guard, to mobilize, bring out the vote for him. So he is institutionally in a very strong position. It's not clear who would challenge him on the left among the liberals. The former president, Hatami, has not made up his mind whether to stand. If he did, he would have the best chance. But there's no one really on the reformist wing other than Hatami who has that level of charisma and even an outside chance of challenging Ahmadinejad. Maybe the most likely or most important challenge will come from within the ranks of the hardliners, from some of the people around him who feel that he's not really up to the job. He isn't competent, especially in terms of domestic policy, the economy. And there we may see someone like Ali Larijani, the former chief nuclear negotiator, challenge him, or the mayor of Tehran, Kalibaf. So a challenge, and maybe the strongest challenge, might become from within the ranks of the hardliners. But we don't expect to see a big change in the complexion of Iranian government.
For more discussion and analysis, download Guardian Daily. That's The Guardian's news podcast, available first thing in the morning, Monday to Friday.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.